Fear by Dan Abnett. Read by Gareth Armstrong. When we are tired, we are attacked by ideas we conquered long ago. The philosopher Nietzsche, circa M2. They are dead. They will not live. They are shades. They will not arise. To that end, you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. The Apocrypha Terror, date unknown. The following document is a chronological account extracted and compiled from Ultima 13, operational record 1136.271.5, and the writings of Primarch Reboot Gilliman. Authorized Adeptus Astartes personnel only. Part 1. Target. Acquisition. The phase of acquisition, or preparatory condition, is a vital segment of any successful prosecution. Though a warrior must be prepared to battle reactively without notice or forewarning, it is when he prepares and plans for war, and accommodates the specifics of his adversary into those plans, that he is most successful. This is war as craft or science, as I have remarked before. Often the fight is won before the first shot has been fired, or even before notice of the first shot has been given. Gilliman, Notes Towards Martial Codification, 7.3.2. Chapter 1. Mark, -136.57.07. Who are the first to die? Most commentaries will cite Honorius Luciel, Captain 209th, and 17 others, by the hand of Sorot Chure, on the company deck of the cruiser Samothrace, at mark -00.19.45, but these are not in fact the first combat fatalities. The fleet tender Campanile is mob-boarded and taken off the Tarmas Apogee approximately 136 hours, sidereal, before count start as a preliminary to the Calf assault. 3,709 crew members are executed, including the ship master, the navigator, the echelon portmaster, two fabricators from the yards, and a detail from the Nereid Regulator's 10th, serving as deck protection. Proof of the loss of the Campanile, delivered to Primarch Gilliman around mark 01.30.00, demonstrates calculation and planning on behalf of the adversary, and establishes what Primarch Gilliman refers to as a preparatory phase of acquisition, which refutes any claims that the conflict was born out of mistake or misadventure. This represents a precondition of malice on the part of the adversary and strengthens Primarch Gilliman's hand in that it removes any compunction to resist or fight back with full military force. There is no longer any point trying to reason with his brother, because his brother is not, in fact, mistakenly trying to kill him at all. Lorgar has been planning it all along. Precise details of the circumstances surrounding the loss of the Campanile are lost, and alone in such darkness, on a deceleration arc past the outer moons, one small ship, overweight and wheezing, over 3,500 souls. Because no log record or data canister is recovered from the wreck, which had been penetrated by something in the night, made in the night, made out of the night, a void hard darkness with teeth and eyes, squirting through every air gate and hatch seal and vent tube like pressurized oil. Though it is assumed that the vessel was overhauled by a fighting ship from the 17th Legion's fleet and taken with all hands, all of them screaming as they were blinded and suffocated, nowhere to flee to, no escape, no door that would open except a bare and airless space. And still the thing made of night, filling the Campanile up, every compartment and deckway, every chamber and access, like black storm water flash-flooding an underground habitat, blinding and choking and drowning everything, filling rooms, filling mouths, filling lungs, filling ears, filling stomachs, stewing brains, smothering gunfire, blunting blades, swallowing the screams of the dying and the overcome, stealing the screams away and laughing them back in mocking voices that promised that screams were nothing more than the chamber music of dark monarchs mankind had only just begun to dream of. So that its anchorage codes could be used to penetrate the platform yards. Course irregularities are noticed of the campanile by Kalth System Control at mark minus 136.14.12 and again at mark minus 135.01.20 and mark minus 122.11.35. Vox contact is recorded as lost at mark minus 99.21.59. 2 hours later, Kalth System Control marks the campanile cause for concern, and the master of the port determines that a support intercept should be sent out if nothing further is received by the end of the shift. There are 192,000 items of shipping traffic in the Viridian system that day because of the fleet conjunction. The support intercept is not sent out because the campanile resumes co-transmission at mark minus 88.10.21. The crew of the campanile is listed on the roll of the fallen in the aftermath of the battle, though none are ever seen again. Except they were, but not in any form that they could be recognized, apart from their screams. Mark minus 124.24.03. The first of the fleet advances have hauled their scarred hulls into the arrestor slips and come to full stop in the high anchor station above Numinous City. They are warships that have gone a long way and killed a great many things, and they wear the insignia and colours of the 17th proudly. Luciel opens the airgate hatch. His company has been assigned close protection of Numinous High Anchor. He has requested the duty personally. Tall as one big man on another big man's shoulders, broad as any three muscle-heavy athletes, his bulk augmented by the massive ceramite plate of gleaming praetor pattern armour, Luciel opens the airgate hatch. The light inside finds him blue and gold. His skull-close helm is in place. Behind the visor slits, Luciel's eyes react as fast as the optic augmetics in the slit rims. Involuntary combat instincts take over. A new space is revealed, so he must consider it and assess any threats. An airgate compartment, 60 cubic meters, grav-supporting decking, self-seal armoured skinning, neutral normalised atmospherics, though Luciel can feel the pressure decay of the air pump's end cycle. There's a reciprocal airgate hatch at the other end of the gate compartment. There is a figure in front of the door. It is another space marine in full war gear. Luciel is 13th Legion, an ultramarine. Blue and gold, clean and sharp, armour burnished to a silk gleam. The Praetor pattern is a new variant, locally fabricated at Viridia Forge, not yet a formally accepted mark within the Legionis Astartes. The other is 17th Legion, a word-bearer. His pattern is the current Mark IV, the Maximus, built for Imperial supremacy. Its fixed frontal armour and angular helm are familiar. Its colours are not. Dark crimson with gunmetal edging, company symbols and squad brands lacquered in dark shapes, almost undecipherable, as if they have been erased or are yet to be painted. Where is the plasma-etched grey of the old scheme? The word-bearer is almost unrecognisable. For a nanosecond, the figure registers to Luciel as an unknown, a threat. Transhuman responses are already there, unbidden. Adrenaline spikes to heighten an already formidable reaction time. Muscle remembers. Luciel wears his bolt gun, an oiled black pitbull of a weapon, in his thigh holster. He can draw, aim, and fire in less than a second. The range is 6 meters, the target unobstructed. There is no chance of missing. Maximus plate, frontally augmented, might stop a mass reactive shell, so Luciel will fire two and aim for the visor slits. The airgate skin sleeve is self-repairing and will survive las fire damage, but a bolter shot will shred it open, so Luciel also braces for the explosive decompression of a ricochet or a mishit. At a simple subconscious neural urge, boot sole electromagnets charge to clamp onto the deck plates. Lucielle thinks, theoretical. But of course there is no theoretical, there is no tactical precedent for a space marine to fight a space marine. The idea is nonsense. He thinks, practical, and that directs him to the visor slits. He can make a clean kill headshot in less than a second and a half, two rounds for kill insurance, and probably protect the atmospheric integrity of the airgate. All this decided, unbidden, instinctive, in less than a nanosecond. The word-bearer raises his right hand. Moving it where? Moving it towards his primary weapon, a plasma cannon in a pull-to-unlock sheath? The hand spreads, opens like a flower, palm forward, the light glinting off the tiny malynx. Lucielle, says the word-bearer. Brother. Chure, Lucielle replies, his voice a growl over the helmet speaker. Brother, he adds. Well met, says the warrior of the 17th, stepping forward. A long time, says Lucielle, coming to meet him. They embrace, forearm guards clattering off backplate panels. Tell me, brother, says Lucielle, what new things have you learned to kill since last we met?